Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Did you know there are over 50 countries that grow coffee? Atlas Coffee Club designed a coffee world tour that highlights the world's best coffees. From Papua New Guinea to Peru, Burundi to Brazil, each month their subscribers discover a new country's coffee. Get your first bag of roasted-to-order coffee free, just pay shipping, by going to atlascoffeeclub.com/challenged.
It's Candace.
And Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Yeah, we thought we'd have it like all figured out by the time we were in our 30s.
And do we?
No, we don't.
We don't.
Hey, but we are a work in progress.
We are. And especially with this brand new year, we have a really amazing guest on today, Dr. Kevin Gilliland.
He's an expert in mental health, depression, addiction. He's been working more than 2 decades in healthcare as a clinical psychologist. He is a pioneer of outpatient treatment. He also is the director of Innovation 360, which is a treatment center for alcohol and drug addiction, depression, anxiety, family therapy that's based in Dallas.
I mean, he also has a book called Struggle Well, Live Well, 60 Ways to Navigate Life's Good, Bad, and In Between. This seems like a perfect time to talk to him because we are 3 weeks into the new year. Candace, how's your resolution going?
I mean, I'm really bad at making resolutions. I remember once mine was like speak French by the end of the year. Like,
that's a tall
That's like venti. That's a double. Is there like a double venti?
Sure.
Like a quattro. I want to start putting into practice all this wonderful advice we've been learning from this podcast experience, honestly. You know, I really want 2020 to be about applying myself to like actually journaling, actually meditating.
I still want you to meditate.
I know, eventually, one day. And taking responsibility for my own health in longer stretches of time, mm-hmm. not just doing like little bursts of like physical activity for a few weeks and then just kind of like give it up. I want to be able to kind of implement small daily rituals that are for me and for my physical and mental health.
That's great.
Yeah, but that's really hard to do overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And especially coming down from the holidays. What about you, Kayla?
So my time is really limited right now, obviously, since I've had a brand new baby. And I'm realizing that when I do spend time with other people, I want it to be with quality people. And I want it to mean something, to feel inspired by it and not just, you know, say yes to everything, which is what I have been doing. So I'm really excited to talk to Kevin about that.
Yeah, you've said you're like a yes person.
I am a yes person.
For like ever.
To a default.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm going to have to change. And it's probably going to take more than 3 weeks to do that.
Yeah, that's a lifestyle change.
It is.
It is.
So we have a really great conversation with Kevin coming up. So stay tuned. Here he is. Directionally challenged. So we are here with Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us via Skype in New York City.
That's right. So good to be here with you guys. I wish I was in California, but
New York with good weather is a pretty good second choice.
That's right.
Well, we're kicking off 2020 and we wanted to discuss a broad range of subjects on like on physical health, on relational health. But we wanted to talk with you about mental health, especially it's a new year. It's a new decade, really. And we always like to come up with a bunch of resolutions early on in the year. But within a few weeks, it's easy for them to start slipping away. Is this something that you see happen with your patients?
Oh, God. Yeah, it happens all the time. And it's funny. You just said a new decade. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, we really are. We're into another decade. And the first of the year is the most common day we all grab hold of to go, hey, now I'm going to try to do some things I've been meaning to do. And yeah, you get about 3 weeks in and it starts getting hard. The fun's kind of over and it starts getting to be work. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while for the benefits to show up too. And I think the best thing for people to know is that our mental health and our physical health are actually incredibly closely woven together. So whether you're doing something that's a physical health thing or something that's purely mental health, you'll see the benefits across. It's like if you work out and have zero plans to eat better, you're going to start eating better regardless.
Because it will help you feel better when you're working out.
Well, yeah. And if you're decent at math, you go, okay, we've all got watches. And I'm like, wow, I burned, 250 calories. And I know if I have that for breakfast, it's like, why'd you get up at 5? You know, and so at some point you start going, no, I'm not going to, I'll make a better bad choice when it comes to my food. And the same thing happens with mental health and our physical functioning. And the same thing, if we start working a little bit on each, we'll start to see those kind of weave together and it gets a little bit easier, but man, the new wears off by month end.
Do you find that people search for enter therapy for the first time more often in January?
Oh God, that's really a good question. God, that's really good. You know, we're so seasonal. It typically is. We tend to get really busy in January. And we also tend to get really busy around August or September. But January is a really busy time because nobody wants to stop doing anything that they're struggling with, especially it's eating or alcohol, because it's when all the parties are and it's all the social festivities. It's really hard to step into those things. But then January settles in and it's a difficult time because we've either been reminded of relationships that have ended, we don't have, or that really causes trouble. And when all that gets quiet, which is January, that's where we typically struggle as people. Yeah.
So you talk a lot about being mentally balanced, and that's something that I think a lot of us strive for in our lives, but it's so much easier said than done. So what advice do you have to us, and what do you tell your patients? How do we continually try to stay mentally balanced in the craziness of, you know, a new year?
I'll go back to what we were talking about earlier, which is our mental and physical health are so connected, and we think too narrow about mental health. Sleep deprivation is one of the first places that I start to look for people's mental health. I saw a physician not long ago that was really struggling. His wife made him come see me, which I always laugh because it seems like our wives are always making us be healthy, which is good. Men are horribly slow at that. And I got to talking to him, and his struggles were mainly his sleep deprivation and his nutrition. I mean, like that had a huge impact on his mental functioning. And, you know, and I do a lot of work with people that struggle with addictions. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous talks all the time about don't get too hungry and don't get too tired. And when you look at our mental health, and you guys know that you work in careers or have children that really play with your sleep. And you can only go so long playing with a human sleep before your mental health starts crumbling. And so I always tell people, look, first of all, make sure that sleep is power, food is fuel, and movement's medicine. And if you're not getting the sleep you need to, or you're eating really poorly, or you're really sedentary, you're not moving, I can't help you. I mean, therapy can't course correct those things. Now, that's good news. because it means there are a lot of things that we can do to have an impact on our overall mental health. And then the other thing I tell people is have realistic expectations for change. Please don't do that whole 21-day thing. If you do something for 21 days, it drives me nuts. I mean, it's catchy. It's catchy. It's just,
wait,
I don't think.
What's the 21-day thing?
You know, you hear people go, how long does it take to develop a habit? Well, do something 21 days in a row, right? You always hear that?
Got it.
You go,
yes, yes.
My only question is, where's the research that supports that? Mm. I'll save you time and Google. It's not out there. It takes about 3 to 4 months. I know that sounds terrifying if you're 3 weeks into this, but it takes about 3 to 4 months to really change a behavior. Because what we're almost all trying to do, if you step back and look at it, is we're trying to end a behavior that's been problematic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know I've stressed myself. I keep saying yes to everything, or I'm sleep deprived. So I've got to stop this. Then I'm going to go through this phase of, I don't know what the heck to do because I haven't developed the skills. And then I start trying some skills that really work for me. So we're stopping, going through this really uncomfortable phase, and then starting to find things that get us traction. And that all takes about 3 or 4 months.
Do you find that a lot of patients come in and maybe there's an element of denial, or maybe they've decided like, oh, no, like I have like true anxiety, and you're like, yeah, no, I hear that you have anxiety. I hear that you feel anxious, because also I feel like there's an element of, with social media, words like anxiety and busy and I'm just so stressed out get thrown around so much where it's like a novelty. Or at the end of the day, you're like, no, I hear that you are experiencing these feelings, but it's really a result of maybe being on your phone really late and not sleeping, or it's really a result of not taking care of yourself in a different way where it's not like a clinical diagnosis.
Yeah. No, I do. I love arguing with people about stuff like that. They're like, no, that's not it. And I'm like, no, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're an architect. I'm not telling you how to build my house, but I'm telling you that is. And so, yes, it is. It's fascinating. I talk about anxiety and stress more in the past 5 years than I have in the first 20 years that I started working in this field. And I think it was one of you guys that was talking about cell phones. Oh, it was you. I think, Candace, yeah, I think you were talking about your daughter, and y'all were talking about cell phones and how disruptive they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cell phones are a problem, but they're not the problem for us. Because when you look historically, go back and read at what we said as a field and as a society about the television. It's hysterical. Because it sounds exactly like we're talking now about social media and being on the cell phone. You go, wow, they talked about the television in the same ways. And they weren't entirely wrong. They weren't entirely right, just like now. It's our problem is we're floundering to use it responsibly and to know when to step away from it. And that, there's no question, is creating a lot of stress for us. So there was a company in Europe that I was reading about that had written software for their email system so that you, as an employee, you couldn't send emails out past, I want to say, 6 or 7 at night, and you didn't get new emails until 8 in the morning. And it's basically going, look, you humans, we love you. You're doing great work here, but we got to set some limits on the fact that you can look on your phone and keep working. And it's the same with us, with family and friends, or the stress that social media can add to us can be horrendous. We really do have to, we have to be more thoughtful about what we read and what we follow. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we actually start to see some positive results that really surprising to us. And it usually has to, I think it was something you said, Candace, that reminded me. I was, because I do see folks, and I work at Innovation 360, work in such a way that I'm more available than probably typical practice. And I remember getting off my phone. This was horrible. This is one of those, why did I have children moments? But it was good in a positive way. So I'm taking my son somewhere. He was probably 10 or 11, my youngest. And I had to take a call, and I hung up, and he just sort of mutters under his breath, gosh, Dad, you're always on your phone. And I was like, Wow. Okay. One, I appreciate that, but not as much as you think, because that was like a really painful observation. And from that day on, I don't think I have ever answered my phone with my kids. I was like, that's it. I mean, I was now it would be a misnomer to think in that one moment I changed. I don't think that's actually the case. What seems to be more accurate, like committing on January 1st to do something different. We actually, when you look at us, we'll do that for a couple of years before we'll actually settle in and move forward with that change. And so I do. I think we have to, one, have realistic expectations of what does that change process look like, and that there'll be some little things that move us along that process that'll surprise us by the impact they have.
Now, you talk a lot about relationships as well, and how our close-knit group of people who we choose to surround ourselves with affect our mental health. A lot of us seem to keep toxic people around for some reason. Is there advice you have for us? Let's say one of our New Year's resolutions. I know for me, I'm going to try to not necessarily say yes to everything and to really make my time spent with friends quality time and make sure it's quality people. How do I continue to do that?
It's one of the most important decisions you'll make. One of the most important decisions, just hands down. We are in our very DNA, we are relational. In fact, the cruelest of all mental health symptoms is isolation. Hands down, it's devastating to us. And I had somebody just ask me about toxic relationships the other day. And I'm like, listen, they're just people that are oxygen thieves in your life. And you just go, and I don't mean that in a judgmental, awful way that it sounds. I really do, actually. You just go, okay, you relationships should have some reciprocal nature to them. And if it really is toxic, if you're always walking away feeling worse or guilt, or why do you do that? And it's not out of this being drawn forward of a loving, kind, desiring, but more is guilt or some other crazy emotion, then you really do have to go, why are you staying in that? Now, there are times you stay in that relationship because you're trying to help and get, I understand that. Believe me, I understand that. But when it comes to friendships and those relationships that sustain us and encourage us, they're vital. And we should be far more thoughtful about them than we are. Mm. It's wildly fascinating to me now to talk to young adults in the 20s and 30s that are interested in looking at being with a partner or being married, and I'm like, wow, you guys are putting, there's such wonderful thoughtfulness to it. I'm like, that's how it should be done. Because when we did it, I've been married 30 something years, and I'm like, I can't believe we're still married. We really did not put this much thought into it. I mean, really, I was like, God, you seem really cute and friendly. I love, this seems good. I don't know why she stayed, but she did. And you're like, that was it. I honestly don't even remember talking about having children. I'm like, yeah, sure. I think so. Do you want? And she's like, yeah, I've always thought. I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, that was it. And I'm like, wow. But now you guys have such a thoughtfulness about it. We should use that same kind of thoughtfulness with the friends we have. And then we need to take the time to really work on those relationships, especially when we're trying to do something or change something that we think has been really having a negative impact on us, like stress or anxiety, or that we have this New Year's resolution, which is just a jumping off point to say, hey, I want to commit to making a change. And letting those people close to us know about it actually helps us be a little more successful. Mm. When you look at people that are successful at goals, that actually helps.
Do you think New Year's resolutions are a positive thing? Or do you think whatever works to get anyone wanting to like move forward in a good way in their life? Or do you think that it's too much pressure and it's like someone setting themselves up for failure?
God, that's such an insanely great question. So specific to the research, it's not even funny. One of the problems about New Year's is everybody randomly grabs that as a date, whether they're ready or not. Mm. We go, the change literature. It's funny. When we look at some of what we've learned have been from smoking, that one of the really effective things about people that stop smoking is that they pick a date. So picking a date is actually a good thing. Picking a random date when you're not really ready, like January 1st, you can end up saying the wrong things, which is, well, nothing works, or I've tried all these things and I can't seem to, or I seem to still struggle with adding meditation to my life, or of being around people that are really good, right? Right.
Yeah, I know, that's me. I know. Candace,
because she always tries to meditate and it's never anything.
I did it once.
Which counts.
I used an app and everything. And maybe in this new decade, I'll do it a second time.
Maybe.
And that's my meditation. It's a decade. Once a decade.
That's it. You got to pace yourself. You don't want to jump into meditation too soon.
No, I take my time.
Yes.
But I love the idea of the fact that not January 1st, the date doesn't work for everyone, that you have to find when you are actually ready to start anew. Let's say someone that's listening right now is like, oh my gosh, this is such an epiphany for me. I'm not ready to quit smoking yet. What are the steps we can take to understand which date works for us?
Yeah. If you're not feeling it, if you will, one of the things we know is that, but you're thinking about it. And that's actually one of the first stages of us changing is we start to realize, you know what, I'm not okay with this. And so gathering more information, and maybe it's that, hey, this year, and without naming names, this would just be a totally random example. Maybe this year it's, I'm going to read up on meditation, right? So that it's right, totally random, just pick an idea.
Out of thin air,
without putting anybody on the spot. So you go, all right, so this year I'm going to start reading some articles on meditation. What are the benefits? And actually, true story, 2 years ago, I tend to be overly Western emphasized in medicine, although the past 5-10 years I've been trying to broaden that. And so meditation was one of those fascinating pieces for me. So I jokingly kept telling people that I was going to be a yogi this year. It was my New Year's resolution. But I don't think you can do yoga once a year and ever become a yogi. So I started reading up on meditation, and I came across a gentleman at Harvard. I think it's Benson. And he studied for 30 years the effect on, he didn't call it meditation. It was relaxation breathing, basically. But it was the exact same principles as meditation. And he was just looking at how it impacted cardiovascular patients. And it was amazing. And I just read an article here not long ago about meditation's role in helping people manage chronic pain. And we've got, 60 million people in this country that struggle with chronic pain, childbirth even. You go, all right, so I'm just going to start reading. And that's all I did. I just set out to read. I had some people ask me questions about it. And as I started reading, I'm like, wow, there's actually a lot of science to this. And for sleep problems, which I have some sleep issues. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this meditation a chance. And so what I would say to people is, if you're like, okay, I'm not feeling it this year, I'm not ready to step into this, whatever your subject is, whether it's I want to stop smoking or I want to learn to manage the stress in my life, and you're not feeling like starting, start reading about the subject and start monitoring it. Start just keeping track of it. And now iPhone's got some great things that we can track, but just keep track of, all right, just in general, how much am I sleeping every night, or how much am I reading and looking at and doing work after I get home or on weekends? Does that make sense? I mean, that's actually—
Absolutely.
When we study change, that's actually the first thing that we start doing is— We start collecting information because we've got some interest and curiosity about ending this behavior and starting this new behavior.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the chocolate bliss and caramel sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
As the creators of Clean Beauty, Bare Minerals is driven by a philosophy that makeup and skincare should make your skin better, not just better looking. That's why their best-selling original foundation is made with only 5 ingredients, all minerals. For Bare Minerals to be clean without compromise means good for skin formulas with proven performance. Upgrade to Clean Beauty products. Use the foundation finder at bareminerals.com to find your perfect match. Get 20% off when you use the promo code CHALLENGED. Bare Minerals, the power of good.
Dear Ashley, challenged.
Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful with wedding websites, registry, invites, and guest list manager all in one place. Their free wedding website designs come in hundreds of gorgeous designs, and it's easy to create your site in minutes. Zola has the highest rated registry of all time, where you can register for gifts, experiences, and honeymoon funds. Zola also offers beautiful, affordable invites and paper designed to match your wedding website. Customize them with your own photos, wording, and more. Zola will also help you collect addresses and track online RSVPs with their free guest list manager. Zola has helped 1 million couples get married. They'll help you too. Go to zola.com/challenge today and use promo code SAVE50 to get 50% off your Save the Dates. You can also get a free personalized paper sample before you purchase. That's 50% off Save the Dates at zola.com/challenged, promo code SAVE50.
Did you know stress affects your skin? It can cause dryness, signs of aging, and redness.
The good news? Sephora's got your solves. Keep your skin concerns in check with Sephora's skin-saving lineup and get ready for stress-free skin in 2020.
Quench dryness with top skincare picks from Drunk Elephant, Tatcha, and Dr. Barbara Sturm.
Drunk Elephant's F-Bomb Electrolyte Water Facial is an electrolyte-packed overnight mask that effectively rehydrates overly parched skin.
Tatcha's Serum Stick visibly plump fine lines with targeted hydration. And Dr. Barbara Sturm's Glow Drops fight dullness to give you the glow you deserve.
To target signs of aging, try the Fresh Lotus Youth Preserve Moisturizer. It prevents visible signs of aging thanks to antioxidants from the lotus plant. Or try the Dr. Dennis Gross Stress Rescue Super Serum, a radiance-boosting serum formulated with superfoods and niacinamide.
And to calm redness, there's the Laneige Hypoallergenic Cicca Repair Sleeping Mask, an overnight mask that's formulated to soothe stressed-out, sensitive skin.
Get the skin-saving lineup only at Sephora, online and in-store now.
And we're back. Through this process of having this podcast and wanting to gain more knowledge and educate ourselves and become, just grow, really.
Yeah.
I feel like that is something that gets talked about so much, is just the act of writing something down, like pencil to paper even, of just like key in a way to like set goals for yourself, but then also to recognize the patterns that you have, or journaling things that are weighing on your mind in order to help you sleep. And it is such an interesting thing that keeps coming up over and over. And that is something that is slowly being taken away from us, where they're like not even teaching cursive in school anymore because we don't write down pen to paper as often as we used to.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it's effective for us to write our New Year's resolutions down pen to paper. Commit.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with yes.
Yes.
Okay, this is wildly fascinating, mildly creepy. I'm like, God, do y'all read my emails? Because I don't know that I can say
yes, we
like
do.
You figured it out.
It was, and I've just responded to a writer for so I don't know yet when she'll publish that. But the question was on writing versus either when we think about stuff or texting and emailing. And there is no question that we process information differently when we actually write it down. Now, you don't need to keep some long journal or anything like that. But when we write stuff down, we process it differently. It's the exact same thing. You guys have both experienced this, where you'll have some idea about a podcast and you'll be thinking, you're like, God, I just can't, it's not coming together for me. And you'll say, hey, I was thinking about, and you'll just ask each other a question like, oh, never mind. I just figured it out. That's because you see the information differently. I promise you, everybody that's listening to you guys, we've all had that experience either at home or at work. And you're like, what happened? You go, well, when we get our ideas out, either talking about them or writing them down, we see them differently and we think about them and differently. It gives us just a little different perspective. So, you know, we tend to think of journaling as, okay, look, I'm not a Walt Whitman. I'm not going to journal. I mean, I'm not Mark Twain. I'm not Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I can't write. I don't, like, listen, write bullet points, write brief statements and jot them down, because it will help you see your problem so much better than you're able to when we just let it rattle around in our head. It's why it's so valuable to have somebody. And it sounds like, and it's totally me projecting, so I could be totally wrong, just go with it so your listeners will. It's like some of the friendship that you guys have had, because you're in a similar industry, which is an extremely difficult industry. You're also moms, and you hear it on some of y'all's discussions that you're like, golly, man, it's just so helpful to throw this out there with somebody that I know and they know me, because it can help me really nuance my path and things that were really going to work for me. Does that make sense?
1,000%. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially going back to a part of the beginning of our conversation, with being really specific and mindful about who you're surrounding yourself with and whether or not they're going to support you or if they're just going to suck the oxygen out of you.
So true.
I want to talk about Innovation 360 and how you kind of came up with this idea and what it is. Is this specific to an outpatient rehab facility, or is it more like family therapy?
Yeah. Yes. And yes. So just had, you know, I wish I could tell you, I teach grad students, and I had one of my former grad students come by a couple of weeks ago and say, hey, I just want to talk to you about your career. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I think that's a bad decision on your part. I got no idea how this happened and how I got here. I mean, I'm like, okay, I was kind of interested in this. And I had been working at the time before Innovation 360 with a pharmaceutical company in medical affairs. And so I traveled all over the country and just got to see how different people practiced medicine. And the art of medicine varies so much geographically, like shockingly so. And so just to see how mental health services were provided and the different ways, and then to look at what we do medically. And we have a really rigid system in mental health where we think that going to see a therapist for 45 minutes, you know, every once a week or twice a week, or seeing a psychiatrist and getting medications, that's treatment for our mental health. And while those are two options, it's really limited. And that one of the really big places we struggle in life is translating these insights into behaviors. And sometimes it just gets a little bit easier when we've got somebody that helps us and goes with us. And that's what we do. Not with everybody we see, but with a lot of people, it's a matter of, and it's not just going to an AA meeting or a sober recovery meeting, but for a lot of folks, whether it's, we've worked with some really wonderful, incredibly successful people, men and women, that start to steal those things in order to achieve, right? Because every great achievement requires a sacrifice. You guys have achieved a level of professional growth that a lot of people aspire to. And you go, God, that's really wonderful. And your response is, yeah, it's wonderful, but you've suffered. You've lost a lot. You've had to skip a lot of things. You miss a lot of things because you're studying or preparing, or I've got to go meet with. And that's true for all of our careers. And so we start to lose the things that are really important to our mental health. And so what we've done at Innovation 360 is, whether it's, there's this wonderful attorney we worked with that had been a tremendously successful athlete, and the stress of his successful life, he wasn't working out, had developed really severe anxiety. And so part of our work with him was individually in therapy, but it was also meeting him outside and starting to work on a healthy routine. Just like you would if one of you guys was, you know, just going, hey, I've got to get more active. Well, our odds of being more active go up if we're planning on meeting a friend somewhere. You know, here a year or two ago, I joked about yoga. A year or two ago, I had a buddy that was like, hey, he was further along in yoga than me. It led that in California. And I was like, I want to do that. So he goes, hey, I'll meet you at this time to go. Well, you know, of course, my alarm goes off and I'm like, I don't want to go do it. But what's worse than that is having him call me or text me saying, why didn't you show up? Yeah. So I went. And I was like, God, I'm glad I did this. And so that's what we've woven into some of the work that we do at Innovation 360 is, all right, when appropriate, where is it best to step out and help people start to do those behaviors in life that they're just struggling to do?
Parallel to also the therapy that they're receiving. Exactly. And especially, yep, counseling for addiction problems.
Yes.
And yes.
Yeah. 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 We weave all that together.
That sounds fascinating. I love it. So is it something that we can do digitally online, or do we have to be physically near you, or what?
Yeah.
Because the facility is in Dallas.
Yeah, we have a place in Dallas, and then we also have a place in Austin. I did some work out in LA, and we'll work with, you know, certain people if they're outside of those areas, but we do that on a real limited basis because our real niche, if you will, is helping people live well where they live. And we've got some great places that people can go to, our field does, for residential care or hospital care. But at some point, you got to come home. And it is really hard to come home, whether it's because you've had a depression or an addiction, or you've gone to a place for nutrition and wellness. At some point, you come home to your refrigerator and your pantry and your relationships and your job, and that's where we struggle. So the majority of what we've done, we've really tried to limit to the cities that we're in. And there are a few exceptions, but mainly it's the cities we live that we're in.
What I don't know if this is a – I'm just going to ask the question. If you feel that you see a friend who's struggling with whether it's a lot of anxiety or a lot of stress or even an addiction, and you can tell that something has changed in their life and they're going down a dark path, is there anything that you can say as their friend that in a responsible way that's not going to like separate the friendship or cross a line that's not yours to cross? Because at the end of the day, I know we all have to be the ones who want to help ourselves. But what can you do as a supportive friend or a partner or a family member when you see someone struggling?
Yeah. I think here's how I would encourage people is the way you say it doesn't matter, because you have a relationship with them. And whether it's saying, hey, what's wrong with you? Or, hey, it's hard for me to talk about this, or I feel awkward, but I care about you. I just feel like I've seen a change. And that's the thing that we humans, we're okay with. Just the way I would encourage you is don't worry about what you say, because it is not what you say, it's who you are that is the most powerful thing. I'm telling you, there are times that I think, golly, why did I go to all that grad school and training that you go, man, it is not what you say. It is your relationship with that person. So if you are that person, just have some relief that you don't need to say it right, because they will know, because they know you. They will know that you care and that you're worried.
Your concern is enough.
Man, I'm telling you, it's your care and your love for them that is so, it is so powerful. It blows me away. I have seen young, sketchy little dudes, and it's almost always dudes that are sketchy, although y'all can be sketchy too. I have seen sketchy little dudes completely change because a mom or a dad will say something to them that's just incredibly loving and caring. So that's one. Two, avoid big labels. It's just an invitation to argue. And instead, talk about the things you've seen that concern you. And whether that's they're not around as much, or they just seem really down, or they seem really sad, or they've been more tearful, or the things that they used to do that they love doing, they've stopped doing. Or one of the bad things that we humans tend to do, especially when it comes to alcohol and drugs, is we ask it to do too much. And I don't care if people have wine or beer or nowadays smoke pot or whatever it is. I don't care if you do what you do because you enjoy with this kind of food or it's this kind of gathering. But when we ask substances to help us manage stress or sleep or deal with things, we're starting to go down a bad path. And so if you've seen people, or if you're having this conversation, you're like, look, I'm just concerned. I feel like alcohol or pot or drugs has become a much more important part of your life than it ever was. Now, I could be wrong, but that's just been my perception. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're not coming in hot being like, you're an alcoholic, this is an intervention, sit down, 20 people are going to be here in 5 minutes, which it's terrifying. For anyone that's had to hit a limit with someone, that's what a necessary thing. But what we're talking about is you notice small behavioral changes in someone that you care about, and you know it's not like so extreme where everyone's having to corner them for an intervention, but you also know that maybe they're starting to walk down a path that is unlike themselves, who they are at their core.
Yes. And so let me be clear. One, that was a really funny intro you did to being the intervention person with 25 people coming in. No, I was not laughing at that. Sometimes you have to do an intervention. But no, it really is about, we don't have to do as much as we think. There was a gentleman that I was working with that was in sales, and he's phenomenally successful. And salespeople, while they're incredibly insightful about subtleties of human behavior, they're sometimes not as good at the more depth and breadth of human behavior. And so he was talking to me about a boss he was worried about. And I was like, And I got to be honest, he sounds like he has some depression. Have you asked him about that? And he was like, no, God. I'm like, listen, you've worked with this guy for years. I said, if he does, and if he has had it, you need to ask him if it's ever gotten so bad he wishes he wasn't alive. And he was like, I am not doing that. And I'm like, okay, fine. You may regret it someday. But if you've known him and you have that kind of relationship, I promise you, the odds are it'll go much better. And I saw him again. It was probably 2 weeks later. He was like, okay, I cannot believe what happened. I was like, what happened? So he starts talking to this boss. Yes, he had been depressed. He asked him about not wanting to be alive. And his boss started crying.
Oh, wow.
And said, you were the first person that's asked me that. And yes, I have had those thoughts. And it led to this long discussion. And his boss ended up going and needing to go away to get treatment. And he was the first person that asked about it. Now, they had had a really close relationship. And so it didn't matter how you said it or phrased it. He just talked about some of the little things that he had seen that have changed. And if you've known somebody, you see those change things. And be curious. Don't be adamant and certain, because there's so much that you don't know. And so, yeah, I think stepping in and asking people and sharing the things, because I may be wrong, but it seems like I'm seeing these things. And if it's something else, let me know. But it just seems like you're struggling. And is there anything that I can do to help? And again, I go back to, we think in such a limited way about, listen, I'm not going away for 30 days, or I'm not going to see some shrink or see. And you're like, okay, well, you don't have to. Not everybody needs to, but are you struggling? And what are you doing that can help your mental health? And again, going back to the sleep, activity, your nutrition, you go, okay, well, your mental health's never going to get better if you're stealing sleep. So I'm going to send you this article from Harvard's got this great article on sleep and sleep hygiene. Like, okay, if you're working too much and you're isolated, then I can help in terms of inviting you out to doing things or doing things together. I can also send you something to read on sleep and how to improve your sleep. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, speaking of helping each other, I know we're all kind of 3 weeks into the new year and we need a little extra pick-me-up. What do you have any last-minute advice for us to just make sure we feel a little bit more inspired to keep our resolutions up?
Yeah. No, that's so great. Just keep track of what you've been doing and go back and look at it, because sometimes our feelings are not a good indication of a good choice. Sometimes we make a good choice and it doesn't feel good, especially when we're doing something different. And we can doubt what we've actually done. I'm fascinated by the Ironman triathlon people. And it's so funny. You get these uber athletes or even Olympians. One of the things they'll do to help settle their mind is they'll go back and look at their journals of what they've actually done and improve, because they'll forget about it that day. And so I would say read back over what you've actually done and compare you to you. Don't compare you to somebody else, or you can be inspired by other people, which you should be inspired by other people, but you should never compare yourself and your progress to other people. I think it was Candace, you were talking about coming back from having a baby and just going, okay, look, and you were, both you guys were, I can't remember what I was listening to that y'all were talking about it, but you were talking about, look, this is just me. Oh, it was you, Kayla. It was you talking about today, you know, in 2019, this is what I fit. And so I'm going to see next week how I'm doing. And I'll look back a month of how am I doing in a month. Be inspired by other people, but compare yourself to you.
Love that. That's love so that. Phenomenal. Yeah. Well, Kevin, we've enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for all the inspiration and stories and everything you've given us. I feel inspired to keep my resolution going. I really do.
Keep it going. Do it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
That is an awesome question. Instagram and Facebook. Website, Dr. Dr. Kevin Gilliland. And Instagram, I'm pretty sure, is dr_KevinG.
Perfect. Right. Well, we'll have this all in the notes for our listeners. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us. And yeah, we can't wait to apply this to our new decade.
Directionally challenged.
Okay. What I am taking from Kevin is don't compare you to anyone else but you. When he said that, I raised my hands in the air.
You snapped.
I did snap. Snaps for Kevin.
I appreciate that he guided us and the ability to also talk with, just talk with each other. How to talk to someone that you care about of maybe with about something that they're going through. Also some warning signs that you need to kind of be aware of for yourself mm-hmm. and taking stock of if you've been isolating yourself or just looking at, instead of running straight to like, what is wrong in an extreme way, just realizing like, wait, let's go through a checklist. Am I sleeping? Am I actually feeding myself? Am I
exercising?
Am I bathing and showering? Am I actually just taking care of my physical self before I'm going to put a label on what I could be?
And there's a lot to, there's a big come down after the holiday season that I think a lot of people experience. There's so many parties and presents and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden it's a new year. And it's difficult. It's not an easy transition. So it's something that we need to make sure we have a conversation with ourselves about and make sure we continue to love ourselves through the process, even if we're not keeping up with our resolution or it's a little more difficult right now, it is okay.
I'm really appreciative that Kevin talked about our friendship
yeah.
and how he could even recognize that like we've got that support for each other because I really feel like we do. And I'm assuming you feel like we do.
Are you kidding me? I'm like nodding my head vigorously. Yes, of course I do. And it's something that we need to make sure we surround ourselves with people that hold ourselves accountable. So I'm going to hold you accountable to your resolution. If you can help me to not be a yes person all the time, I would really appreciate it. And I know it's going to be hard.
I will do my best.
Thank you.
It is interesting though. In your 20s, it's like, there's a different element of what it is to be social because you're just like going out or meals or dinner or even like you're looking for a new job and you're trying to hustle and you're trying to, it's all this like new. And if you find yourself like we both have in our 30s where you have a partner and you've decided that you have children and you want children and then you've got this family routine that you have to prioritize on top of prioritizing keeping up with yourself and making sure that you're taking care of yourself, you know, there's not a lot of time left just for like frivolous friendships that aren't really filling you up and supporting you. And that is something that I don't think we take enough time to really consider of like weighing how draining a negative person in your life can be to like the whole of your spiritual self.
1,000%. And so help me with that. I'm going to do my best to do that too. And you guys, what are your resolutions? Let us know. I want to hear what everyone's trying to be, you know, change this year because it is a tall order. So let's hold each other accountable for it.
And support each other through the
process because that's what this is. We are all directionally challenged and we're doing our best. So we hope you enjoyed today's episode. We will have another awesome one coming up next week.
As the creators of Clean Beauty, Bare Minerals is driven by a philosophy that makeup and skincare should make your skin better, not just better looking. That's why their best-selling original foundation is made with only 5 ingredients, all minerals. For Bare Minerals to be clean without compromise means good for skin formulas with proven performance. Upgrade to clean beauty products. Use the foundation finder at bareminerals.com to find your perfect match. Get 20% off when you use the promo code CHALLENGED. Bare Minerals, the power of good.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5.
From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.